The reason these states were created, of course, were opposition to the Crusaders, and initially that was quite clear because Baldwin the First and then his brother Henry, the first two Latin emperors, were going to make a real effort to conquer Asia Minor. After all, a good deal of their knights and barons had fiefs that had to be claimed out there. And in the early stages of Theodore's reign, he was quite busy fighting the Crusaders and trying to prevent them from establishing any kind of secure bridgehead in Asia Minor. He also had to fight off the third splinter empire, that is the Empire of Trebizond, which was sending forces west because initially the Byzantine emperor or the Byzantine-style emperor in Trebizond, Alexis Comnenus, thought it would be a great idea for him to get into the arena and take back Constantinople. And so Theodore and his brother-in-law John were really quite preoccupied in fighting back the initial crusader efforts. On the other hand, very quickly it became clear, especially after the defeat of Baldwin at Adrianople, the lack of reinforcements coming into Constantinople, and the slackening of crusader efforts in Asia Minor, that the crusader threat to Asia Minor, the immediate threat had passed. The Venetians had set up their commercial centers. The Genoese actually began to move into the Aegean. They made contact with the Nicene emperors. Immediately, the same type of trade connections established. The Nicene emperors start giving commercial privileges very astutely and quickly realized, just as the despots of Epirus, if you can satisfy Venetian and Genoese commercial interests, then you could take them out of consideration and their naval support to the empire, the Latin emperor in Constantinople, and that would make your job much easier in taking back the imperial capital. All of this was quite clear. It was also clear that they faced a potential danger, and this is coming up in the next lecture, with the Seljuk Turks to the east, especially the Sultan of Konya. And it didn't take much imagination for the sultans of Konya to realize that with the fall of the imperial capital, the remaining Byzantine possessions in Asia Minor could well be captured, or in their sense, recaptured, since they had once occupied them very briefly just before the First Crusade, and incorporated into this emerging Muslim state. And so the Nicene emperors had to fight back the Seljuk Turks. Well, for several reasons, the Nicene emperors had an advantage over the Seljuk Turks and inflicted some really impressive defeats. And then 1243, they were particularly helped when a Mongol army showed up and trashed the Seljuk Sultanate and then withdrew back into Central Asia and never got to the Nicene domains. So the policy decision, or the decision that essentially they were looking at, whether they realized it or not, is what do we do? With Nicaea and the old core, the most prosperous core of the old Hellenic Anatolian states, like the Attalid Kingdom and the old Seleucid domains in Western Asia Minor, that is the cities of the coast and the great river valleys with all of its agriculture and prosperity, do we construct an effective Orthodox kingdom in Anatolia, forget Constantinople, take on the Seljuk Turks, who for at one point are briefly disorganized, they're under pressure from the Mongols, and build an effective state in Asia Minor? Or do we direct all of our resources and efforts to taking back the imperial capital? Now, if this debate had ever taken place at the courts at Nicaea, it was clear that this second policy was the only realistic policy that the Nicene emperors would ever consider. They were the legitimate emperors. And they felt that they could not rule without the control of the capital, without that coronation in Hagia Sophia, without having a Greek-speaking patriarch. And for all the success of a state in Anatolia, it was not the same as the empire of the Romans. And so the result is that the Nicene emperors put their efforts in retaking the city rather than building up their Anatolian realm. And in the end, the last of the Nicene emperors, a man I mentioned in a previous lecture, who was a usurper, a general who seized power, Michael VIII. In 1258, he took control of the government at Nicaea, was proclaimed emperor. Michael VIII of the Palaiologan family, which is a great family of Anatolian origin, very cleverly, one of the most adroit diplomats of the 13th century, isolated Baldwin II in Constantinople. He signed a fateful treaty in 1261 with the Genoese, a treaty at Nymphaeum, that's the summer residence of the Nicene emperors, which promised the Genoese all sorts of concessions should the city be retaken. And this, in return, the Genoese gave the fleet and the military support that made the reoccupation possible.